morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Wild Card Wednesday. Wild Card Wednesday, yeah! And that is any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. Rita requested The Crystals and their song He's a Rebel to kick off Wild Card Wednesday. All righty, then. So we're going to be talking about real unsolved mysteries. They're true, and they've been unsolved. And if you guys can think of any that you'd like to discuss, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200 for unsolved mysteries. Does anybody know how long the TV show Unsolved Mysteries was on? With Robert Stack.
Too long.
Too long?
It was frightening. That music.
Yeah. It freaked you out then, Esmeralda?
Yeah. It still does.
More than Rescue 911, because that was mine.
All of it.
Rescue 911 would freak you out? Can you find the theme for Unsolved Mysteries so we can freak out Esmeralda a little bit? By the way, if you guys remember the last time that Jen Bosworth was here, you guys remember the last time that Jen was in studio with us? Was it about a month ago?
Right before her one-woman show.
Yeah. When we talked about celebrity crushes, and she said Robert Stack because of Unsolved Mysteries. Do you guys
remember? That's insane. He was the most frightening person, always coming out of fog.
There you go, Esmeralda.
Anything he talked about, it was so scary.
And it was Robert's. Didn't he have like a trench coat on?
Yeah, and he'd come out of the fog every time.
Oh man, that show was on for a long time. That was an '80s staple, wasn't it? Or into the 90s,
yeah,
too.
Early
90s,
yeah.
Early 90s, yeah. That's a very distinctive theme song there, Esmeralda. Did all the memories come rushing back there?
And then he would always have those cases where, like, someone murdered someone and they're still on the loose.
Right.
It's like, oh, my God. And you're always watching it alone.
Right.
Dark.
And it was on late at night, wasn't it?
No. It was on at, like, you know, prime time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They would rerun it occasionally.
Oh, okay.
After like midnight.
Because I never watched it. I never got into that show. Could you look it up and see how long it's been on?
So there was two iterations.
All right.
There was the Robert Stack, which went from 1987 to 2002.
Good Lord. Wait a minute. It was on that long?
There's a lot of unsolved mysteries. Here's something you probably didn't know either. Virginia Madsen served as the co-host in 1999.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Dennis Farina hosted a reboot of the series from 2008 to 2010. And to finally freak out Esmeralda, as of January 2017, a collection of episodes from the Spike TV revival are currently streaming on Amazon Prime.
No, thank you.
Wow. So that gives you a little insight into Jen Bosworth, by the way, Esmeralda.
It's just weird.
Yeah, she digs on
Real
the
weird.
Robert Stack from Unsolved Mysteries. I thought it was going to be like Robert Stack. I thought she was like, you from The Untouchables. You know, when he was in The Untouchables TV show from the 50s. She's like, no, Unsolved Mysteries. Now, Esmeralda, would you prefer just to think of, instead of thinking of Robert Stack in Unsolved Mysteries, you would rather think of Robert Stack in Airplane.
Yes, very much so.
That's the Robert Stack that you would rather think of.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Well, an unsolved mystery that has one of the most famous unsolved mysteries of all time is the mysterious case of D.B. Cooper. I almost said D.B. Sweeney. The mysterious case of actor D.B. Sweeney from Eight Men Out.
You gotta go cutting edge. You can't go Eight Men Out there.
Cutting Edge. That's right. Oh, my God. Esmeralda, do you remember the movie The Cutting Edge?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, with young Moira Kelly.
Moira Kelly. She was a babe. It's the hockey player turned figure skater movie. Hey, didn't they do like two more of them without D.B. Sweeney and Moira Kelly?
They did.
They did like they were straight to video. Cutting edge. Whew. Anyway, so you know that D.B. Sweeney should have played D.B. Cooper. Wouldn't that have, that would have worked out well. But instead, it went to the part went to Treat Williams. Treat Williams played D.B. Cooper, and I don't remember the name of the movie. Dan, can you look it up on IMDb? I can't remember. I think Catherine Harold was the female lead. Can't remember who directed it, but it was like 1981 or 1980, early 80s when they made the movie. The actual event, the crime, actually took place in 1971. And it was a big deal. I mean, I remember it being in the news, and I remember it being talked about. I would imagine at some point, Esmeralda, Robert Stack probably talked about it because it's one of the most popular and notorious unsolved mysteries of all time.
Yeah, he probably did, and probably made it sound frightening.
Yeah. D.B. Cooper killed 7,000 people,
and he was never seen again.
Right.
If you have any information.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. If you have information, that probably freaked you out a little bit, too.
I just don't like the idea that there's all these murderers everywhere.
Right.
I was just assuming they were about to come to my house.
Do you have info on the movie, Dan? Did you find it?
The Pursuit of D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney.
Or D.B. Cooper.
I knew that was going to happen. The Pursuit of D.B. Sweeney after somebody spent $10 seeing The Cutting Edge. They were pursuing.
To thank him for a fine piece of cinema.
Hey, was it? Is I'm getting him confused with the other, not the Robert Carradine, the other guy in The Nerds. Oh, Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards was in.
Yeah, I get him D.B. Sweeney confused. D.B. Sweeney, by the way, played the mayor in Chi-Raq.
Yeah, he's a Chicago guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a Chicago guy. But I hadn't seen the guy on screen in years, and he played the mayor in Chi-Raq. So what year was the movie?
1981.
Do they have a director listed?
Roger
Spottiswood. Roger Spottiswood. Good director.
Buzz Kulick did an uncredited directorial. Something.
Yeah, because he co-wrote the script. Is the female lead Catherine Harold?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And Roger. Your boy Bobby D was also in the film.
That's right, Bobby D. Yo quiero Taco Bell. Oh man, I still love that. That's one of my favorite stories ever. Robert Duvall loved the Taco Bell dog, and I got to call him Bobby D. He said, "Call me Bobby D." I'm like, "What? You're Robert Duvall, man." What's going on right now? Is this the Twilight Zone? I'm doing a shot of Patron with Robert Duvall. He's letting me call him Bobby D. And he said, "Yo quiero Taco Bell" as a toast. What? Where am I now? Is this Twin Peaks? All right, so D.B. Cooper, the story is, clip-on ties just don't get you dressed in a pinch. They also now help solve crimes, or at least one might, in the infamous D.B. Cooper plane hijacking case. In 1971, a mysterious man claimed he had a bomb in a briefcase. He hijacked a Boeing passenger plane and then parachuted from the plane after extorting $200,000 from the FBI. 45 years later, they have yet to find any clue that could lead them to the man in question. Until now! Amateur scientists known as citizen sleuths analyzed a JCPenney tie that Cooper left behind and found traces of elements often seen in aerospace plants. Furthermore, according to the group, the elements found were used around the time specifically in Boeing plants, leading the group to believe that Cooper might have been a Boeing employee or contractor. So there you go, a clip-on tie that he left behind. Why did it take 45 years for them to test a clip-on tie that he left behind? I mean, is that just bad investigating? Wouldn't you test that right away? Or has technology finally gotten to the point where you can extract fibers and material from the
citizen sleuths? Doesn't strike me as a very professional organization. It's probably they just got their hands on some technology.
Citizen sleuths. They should make a movie called Citizen Sleuths, don't you think?
Starring
D.B. Sweeney in the lead. Hey, look, it worked for Police Academy. Remember the Police Academy 2 was like Citizens on Patrol, I think it was. I think that's what it was. What's the line that, Esmeralda, you might remember this. The line that Homer has, he's screaming at Bart because Bart got busted for shoplifting. Remember Bone Storm? Was it the video game was Bone Storm or something?
Yeah.
He ripped off Bone Storm and he got busted. And then he goes, stealing. And then Homer gives this speech about stealing and says, why do you think I took you to all those Police Academy movies? Because it wasn't funny or something like, I'm really ripping it. You know, I'm doing a terrible job, but he has this monologue about how he wanted to teach him what was right and wrong by showing him the Police Academy movies. But I can't remember. I can't remember the monologue. Maybe it's available online somewhere. Stealing? And then he goes off on him. Yeah. And do you remember the kid that remember when he's at the what's the name? Is it Try and Save?
Yes.
Or is that from Simpsons, Try and Save?
I think so.
That was their local sort of like Kmart or you know, their local Walmart was Try and Save. And do you remember the punk, spoiled, rotten brat kid when Bart's standing in the aisle and he's looking at the Bone Storm and he's yelling at his mom, "Shut up, Mom!" Remember?
Yeah.
And then he gets two copies of Bone Storm because he wants two of them.
No, he wants one for his sister because they're not going to share.
Oh, that's right, one for his sister. And didn't he have like a tail or something? Like his hair was.
I think at that time, rat tails were back again. At least for children.
I wonder. I can't remember what the kid's name was. Like, what was it? Like Justin or something? I can't remember. We're gonna have to research this. The Bone Storm episode of The Simpsons. That one. Marge got really sad, right? Because all they wanted to do was take a family photo, and he always screwed up the family photos. Bart did.
Yeah. And then she was disappointed in him.
Yeah. Poor Marge. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. More unsolved mysteries. If you have any, 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. It is Wild Card Wednesday. It's certainly Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Anything, any artist, any song. 312-981-7200. Mike requested Gills, Gills, and Fripp with Erudite Eyes. Robert Fripp, one of the most creative guitarists of all time. So Mike, I believe, enjoys prog rock. All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about unsolved mysteries. And Esmeralda's freaking out. Esmeralda, did you watch America's Most Wanted?
Sometimes.
Did that freak you out, too?
The music wasn't as scary.
Mm-mm.
It was all about that music. They just set a tone.
Yeah. Yeah. And you remember Ripley's Believe It or Not? Did you ever watch that with Jack Palance?
Did not.
Yeah. Believe It or Not. With Jack Palance. All of those syndicated weird shows, you know? Well, America's Most Wanted was on Fox. Yeah, that show was man, that was like the first breakout hit for Fox when they became a network. That and Married with Children is what they started with. It was like Married with Children and America's Most Wanted. And I always loved the stories, Esmeralda, that when they would do the reenactments of the crimes and stuff on America's Most Wanted. They would do like the reenactments, and then they would give the information and show you like a, like an artist rendering, like a wanted poster thing, and give you the 800 number to call. The stories of how the actors who were part of the reenactment would always get would sometimes get arrested because people would see the actor, who portrayed the criminal, and then call the cops and go he's right next door.
Yeah, I think Andy Richter got hassled.
No, did he?
He was on one of those.
Andy Richter was in a reenactment on one of those shows?
I believe so, yeah.
That's fantastic. Oh, man. All right. So, anyway. All right, we got some real unsolved mysteries. We're going to get to those in a second. Here's Steve, the limo driver on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. How are you? Let me take it off speakerphone.
Okay. No, it actually sounded better before, Steve.
Okay, I'll put it back. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, I got a bad cold, too, so it might be my voice.
All right. Well, what do you got for unsolved mystery?
Yeah, up in Libertyville, Illinois, about in the early 80s, the Rouse murders was a mother and father sleeping in the bedroom upstairs, and the children were downstairs, and they were murdered with a shotgun, and it was never solved. None of the kids ever copped to it. I think years later, one of the kids was dying, and he kind of admitted it or whatever. That's what somebody told me, but I'm not sure. It was a front page news for a couple of years.
So it was unsolved. It was early 80s, and you said in Libertyville?
Correct. Yeah,
wow.
The family owned a bunch of Amoco stations, which is like BP now.
Yeah.
And I actually worked for the family. And another tie-in, not off the subject, Ringling Brothers is shutting down.
Yeah.
And you remember on Seinfeld when they went to the circus and he was dating the gymnast?
Yeah, that's when Kramer passed his stone.
Yeah, and they show the main clown, like, in the background. He was, like, I think he was a French guy. He was sort of like the ringmaster.
Yeah.
But he was a clown. When I went to the Ringling Brothers at Allstate Arena, which was Rosemont Horizon back then, he came up about 20 rows in the audience and picked me out of the audience and a couple other people and put us in the middle of the whole ring thing to do, like, you know, some sort of bit where we would. I forget exactly what it was, but that guy picked me out of the audience, and so I was a star of the circus.
Look at that! So now you can't be a star of the circus anymore, Steve, because there's no more circus.
Yeah, can I get my SAC card for that?
Yeah, I think you can. I think you're all set. All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
All right, have a nice day.
Take care. I don't remember that story out of Libertyville. Dan, do you remember? Well, you were just
I wasn't familiar with it.
You're just a kid then, when it happened. Yeah.
Hey, Nick, the Tribune has a report that says the son did, as that limo driver just said.
He admitted it?
Yeah, confessed.
Okay. So unsolved until this kid confessed.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember that at all. That's a big deal, though. I mean, you know, an unsolved murder mystery in Libertyville.
Libertyville, yeah.
Wow.
I think it was 10 years before there was another murder there.
Wow, that's nuts. All right, we're going to do more unsolved mysteries here. We got to take a break. We got the news coming up next. 96 years. Cry. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday, baby. Any song, any artist, anything. Yeah. 773 requested. ?? In the Mysterians with 96 Tears. Are you guys aware that guy legally changed his name to ? Did you? You knew that, right, Dan?
I believe he was a guest on Stephen Johnny's show as part of the One Hit Wonders.
I think you're right.
I believe it was a very awkward interview, if I remember correctly.
Well, sure, the guy legally changed his name to ? Now, was his name the words question and mark, or was it the symbol? I think it was just this. I think he changed his name to the symbol.
I believe it is just the symbol.
?
So is it because we know it as ? He's not the artist formally known as.
Yeah. No, whatever. He's not. No, he's not. He didn't do it for legal reasons like Prince did. Prince, remember when everybody thought Prince lost his mind when he was the artist formally known as Prince and he had the little symbol? That's my name now. Remember when everybody's like, oh, he's a lunatic? No. No, he did it to get out of a contract with Warner Brothers, who was screwing him.
And he was wearing that jumpsuit with the butt cut out.
Yeah. Prince was the king. Well, he was a prince, but he was still the king. But, yeah, I remember, like, when it happened, they changed his name. Yeah, this is my name now. It's this thing. People were like, he's lost it. No, he didn't. So, anyway. By the way, that album with is just the Symbol album From what, 89? No, 90, 91, when the Symbol album came out. It's one of the best albums he's ever did. It's a great album. So, all right, Question Mark and the Mysterians. Guy changed his name to Question Mark. You ever seen what the guy looks like, Esmeralda? Have you ever seen what Question Mark looks like?
I have seen him, yeah.
Oh, man. We need to call Steve and Johnny and see if they've got that archived somewhere. Interview with. I would love to hear Steve and Johnny interviewing Question Mark of Question Mark and the Mysterians. All right. Now, do you guys remember we got some unsolved mysteries that we're talking about? We got a bunch of them here. We'll talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the germiest places that you can go to, places that are the germiest. We will we'll discuss that a little bit later. We'll discuss that just as Mary is waking up and getting ready to come in, because she'll
Isn't
love
more it. To avoid
to what?
I don't think you really want to go to
no,
the germiest
places that you
places.
Don't know. Yeah, exactly. It's the eight. I have the eight germiest public places.
I guess unless you really want to get sick.
These are the eight germiest public places. So, yeah, we'll get to that and make everybody free. This whole show is dedicated to freaking people out. We're talking about Peter Cushing, talking about unsolved mysteries, and we're going to talk about germy places. It's Weirdo Wednesday. Yeah! I just came up with that. Dan, want to do that every Wednesday? You want it to be Weirdo Wednesday?
I mean, some would consider Wildcard Wednesday already Weirdo Wednesday. Not to disparage the listeners, just the choices in music.
Yeah. They take it seriously, man. The listeners, when they program the bumps on this show, man, they don't mess around. They take it seriously. Okay. All right. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this or not. I certainly do. It happened in November of 1987. So you guys were youngsters then. Esmeralda, what were you, four? Yeah?
Yep.
Dan, you were six.
Yes.
All right. You guys, I'm sure you probably heard about it or since known about it, the Max Headroom broadcast intrusion.
I can't deal with that. No, thank you.
Why?
It's scary.
Wait, what's scary about it?
What, you haven't watched that thing and not been freaked out by it?
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, it freaks me out to no end.
Were you not a fan of Max Headroom? Were you ever into Max Headroom at all?
It's not that. Max Headroom itself is fine, but somehow the guy with the mask on just freaks me out. And then what he's saying sounds very cryptic and weird. And,
yeah. Ugh. Is there audio of that, Dan? Because it's on November 22nd, 1980. For those of you who don't, how many people remember this? 312-981-7200. Talk or text. You remember the Max Headroom. For those people who were watching Doctor Who, it was during a broadcast of Doctor Who on Channel 11. It says here, a Chicago television station had its broadcast hijacked. What followed was a creepy video involving an unidentified man in a Max Headroom mask. They describe the video as creepy here as well, Esmeralda.
Because it is.
Now, I was not watching at the time the Doctor Who episode. But, you know, if you're watching Doctor Who and that happens, how do you know that's not part of the plot? Yeah, all right.
Do you know if he swears in this? Can I just pull it up and play it? Or
I don't know if he swears. I have no idea.
All right, I'll check it. Then I'll
I don't think he swear. I don't know.
I don't remember because it was pretty muffled too. What he says.
How long does it last? He couldn't have gotten in there for
his
long.
His clip is 2.5.
It's 2.5 minutes.
Maybe they explain in that clip. I feel like it was much shorter.
That guy got in there. Did he get in there for 2.5 minutes? No. There must be some sort of additional stuff.
There's an explanation and a little bit of the Doctor Who episode, okay. So maybe it's 1:20.
Okay, but still, that's a long time, man. Over a minute to bust in a broadcast like that? And they never found out who did it. They never found out who the dude was in the Max Headroom mask.
If you have any information about the Max Headroom man.
Do you guys remember the Max Headroom show? Like the sci-fi show that was on ABC?
I vaguely remember it.
It was like an actual like science fiction show, and Max Headroom was just like a supporting character on it. It was a great show. Great show. I'm not talking about like him doing the wacky video stuff. This was like Matt Frewer, who played Max Headroom, was on the, he was like the star of the show, and he was like the alter ego. And it was a great, it was just really great, very Blade Runner-esque science fiction. And the Max Headroom character was just part of this entire universe. It was on ABC in the, in I want to say like 86, 85, 86, around that time. And I think it was just simply called Max Headroom, but it was like a full-on, it wasn't him doing bits with the, you know, the stuttering and weird bits that they did. I mean, that was in the show, partly, but it was mostly the just big universe sci-fi thing. That yeah, that show was really great. I think it only lasted about a year. Me and my friend, hey, listen, Joe, my buddy Joe, we watched it every Friday. Just loved it. It was a great show. I think it only lasted about a year, and it looked really, I just remember it looking really expensive. They did a really great job with like the futuristic production design and the special effects and stuff, and it was a it was just like a really good piece of science fiction. But so anyway, they never found the Max Headroom guy, Esmeralda, so he's out there.
Gosh.
He's probably hanging out with Robert Stack.
Well, so, isn't Robert Stack, didn't he pass away?
Yeah, Robert Stack passed away.
Ooh.
But yeah. So the Max Headroom dude, that was November of 1987, and they still haven't figured out who did it.
All right, we'll give this a shot.
Does it seem okay? So that's Esmeralda's totally freaking out right now in the hut. Are you all right?
I've just never. There's just something about it. It's so unsettling.
You took your headphones off. Did you turn
I did.
Did you turn the volume down? I'm sorry.
It's just unsettling. And then when you watch it, it's all kind of blurry and the mask. Ugh. Like, I'm expecting him to do something really awful. I don't, like, because you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Could you imagine, Esmeralda, if you were, you know, watching Max, or if you were watching Doctor Who at that time, like, live, and it happened?
I would be freaking out completely. I'd have a panic attack or something.
Wow. All right. I'm sorry I'd freak you out. I looked up at the screen, like, 10 seconds into the audio and you had your headphones off, the volume was turned down, you were like in the fetal position in your hut.
No, I just, ugh. It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay. All right, well, you know, I just got this report in, Esmeralda. They found him. Everything's fine. He's arrested. He's in jail. You're okay.
It's not even that, like, if he's arrested. They could have found him. He could be like, yeah, no, it was me. I'd still be like, that was very frightening.
Now, Dan, is that about, does it seriously go on for like over a minute?
Yeah, over a minute.
How did he do that? How did he do that? That's insane. Wow. All right. All right, we got more unsolved mysteries to delight Esmeralda. You're not enjoying this at all, are you, Esmeralda?
No.
I'm sorry. Hey, if it makes you feel better, we're going to talk about the germiest public places coming up.
Cool.
A little. Do you want to?
If I go into your studio, are you going to be like, are you going to come out of the fog wearing a trench coat
and a Max Headroom mask?
Oh my God.
Come out with a Max Headroom mask on, and Dan, when she comes in at 4:30 for, you know, to join me in the studio, just hit the unsolved mysteries theme.
Yeah, that'll be great. Let's get to weather and traffic because we have a much more pleasant Max Armstrong, who has more information about Max Headrooms.
Max Headroom Armstrong?
Yes.
Okay.
So he will join us after
weather
and traffic in the break. Max Headroom hacked my computer, so we are without pump at the moment. So here's Max Armstrong connected to Joe.
Don't say that. Esmeralda's going to freak out now. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're talking about unsolved mysteries and the like, and the whole Max Headroom event that took place. If you don't remember it, a broadcast of Doctor Who on Channel 11 got hijacked by a guy in a Max Headroom mask. And we were talking about it and how it's unsolved. And the great Max Armstrong is listening. Hello, Max.
Coming up next on Weirdo Wednesday, it's Max. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Welcome to Weirdo Wednesday, Max.
Yeah, I love your conversation about the Max Headroom thing because I remember it vividly. I wasn't watching the broadcast, but I remember all of the fallout afterward. And they were trying to determine where the guy was. They were trying to put him in a line of sight between the Hancock Center, where Channel 11's transmitter was at the time,
mm-hmm.
and the Channel 11 studios up on what, St. Louis, is it?
Yeah.
On the north side?
Yeah, St. Louis on the north side, yeah.
And they determined that he had to be on a rooftop somewhere in that line of sight to intercept the microwave signal between those two points.
Wow.
And they never did find him. But now, there were additional attempts to break in on transmitter links in the Chicago area, and that those were on radio. And it prompted the big stations, such as the one we're on now, along with a couple of others who have transmitters in the same neighborhood in the northwest suburban area, to take additional steps to protect their microwave signals or to have a backup to divert off of the microwave and over onto the hardline telephone line, because somebody was trying to break into the radio signals the same way that Max Headroom was on Channel 11.
Was there any, like Max Headroom, that guy, were there any successful hacks into the radios?
I think there were. And not on GN, as I recall, but I believe just a little bit up or down the band, there was an incident. And so it prompted our guys, and I believe Jim Corrado was the chief engineer at the time,
yeah,
to take additional steps to say, hey, wait a minute. I think, as I recall, of course, it was in the Wally era when Wally was doing mornings, and they wanted to make sure that somebody like you didn't come on when a respectable show like Wally was on.
No Weirdo Wednesday on Wally show.
That's right.
Yeah, that's interesting. But it's so interesting, though, and they never caught the guy. But so that's crazy. Like, between the Hancock and, like, Foster and St. Louis on a rooftop somewhere.
That was the speculation at the time, that this guy was in that line of sight so that he could disrupt the microwave signal.
Wow. That's something. And they never found him.
And then, you know, there was fallout. You know, think of what it would have been like to break in. You know, and oh my goodness, what if he had gotten on with John and Felicia? I mean, heaven.
So, but the other thing is that, you know, like Dan said, that the transmission goes on for over a minute. Doesn't that seem excessively long, Max? Like somebody couldn't get on top of that and let
in. Wait a minute. You got to remember, it was Channel 11.
Okay.
We do have some texters checking in who said they also hacked Channel 9, but
the Max Headroom guy did?
The Max Headroom guys, but they were on the board, and it only went on for about 25 seconds. Apparently, Dan Rode was giving the sports. Max Headroom cut in. It lasted about 25 seconds before they went to a commercial.
Did you know that, Max? Dan Rowan was doing the sports.
Yeah, but now think of the geography. You know,
yeah.
It's not roughly the same.
That's true.
Line of sight.
Yeah, because it's they're over on Bradley Place. That's not very far from where Channel 11 is.
Yeah, and if you're drawing a line from the Hancock Center up that direction, of course, and Channel 9's transmitter was on top of the Hancock Center as well.
Right. Interesting. But see, Channel 9 was on top of, what do you say, Max? What are you saying? Everybody at Channel 11 was asleep?
No, not at all. Yeah, I think of the programming.
All right. Max, always.
I don't know why he didn't break in during a fun drive.
Yeah, exactly. That's when everybody's watching. Yeah, he could have. Max Headroom, you know what, Max? If he did, he could have got a tote bag.
Yeah. One more thing. I heard the mention of the circus as I was getting into the car a while ago. I'll do this quickly. But like 20 years ago, I took my daughter and her friend to the circus, the Ringling Brothers Circus, and it was wonderful. And I came off looking like a hero for, you know, taking a bullet to take these six-year-old kids to the circus.
Yeah.
About halfway through the performance, I realized here I was 10 yards away from very attractive women that had almost no clothes on. And I started to blush thinking, what have I done? And you know, I took a bullet for that.
Yeah.
You know, I came off looking like a hero.
It's a tough job, Max. Somebody's got to do it.
So you aspiring fathers out there, just so you know.
Yeah.
So if the circus ever resurfaces again, it ain't the worst thing in the world.
All right. Max, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Good talking to you, Nick.
Have a great day. And the great Max Armstrong. He didn't call me rascal. Aw. That's pretty funny. He's taking a bullet looking at half-naked women. Max. Wow. All right. So there you go. I'm just like Dan Rowan doing the sports, and suddenly Weirdo Man comes in going, oh, man. All right. November 22nd, 1987. So if Doctor Who was on, that would be a Sunday. So Dan Rowan, how good or bad were the 87 Bears, Dan? Were they bad? Because that's probably what he was probably doing a recap. If it was a Sunday night, he was probably doing a recap of the game. Were the 87 Bears terrible?
Well, I mean, that would have been just 2 years removed from the...
Right. I mean, they still had McMahon was still on the team.
Yeah.
The Fridge and all those guys, right? But yeah, Walter. That's amazing. All right. Okay. So the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion is one of the unsolved mysteries. And Esmeralda doesn't like it. Not at all, huh, Esmeralda?
Not at all.
All right, how about this one? Here's a weird one. You ready for another weird one on Weirdo Wednesday? How about the Kentucky meat shower? You want to hear about the Kentucky meat shower, Esmeralda?
Sounds kind of nice.
It does, doesn't it? Having a nice meat shower. Honey, I'll be back in half an hour. I'm going to go have a meat shower.
Some ground beef. Pulled pork, maybe.
Oh, yeah. On a spring day in 1876, the skies opened up over an area of Bath County, Kentucky, and down poured pieces of meat. According to two guys who ate the meat, because who wouldn't want to eat mysterious flesh that's fallen from the heavens, it tasted of mutton. That's all it says here. So there was a meat shower in 1876. Two guys were standing. You know how when it snows and you go outside and, you know, stick your tongue out to catch the snowflakes? These guys were doing it with meat.
It was cooked?
I don't know if it was cooked. If it was a hot day, maybe.
Imagine if you had a rain barrel, all the meat you could get.
Yeah. Hey, remember that episode of The Simpsons where it was a treehouse of terror or treehouse of horror and the toaster becomes a time machine? And then Homer is like he's going through different periods of time and he changes like the outcome of everything.
Oh right, is it a toaster? Oh yeah,
it's a toaster. And
he rains donuts.
Right, he leaves. He's like and everybody. Okay, says something like, "I'd like a donut," and then Marge goes, "What's a donut?" And he goes, "Ah!" And then he leaves. He hits the button and he leaves. And then right after he leaves, donuts start raining out of the sky. And Marge goes, "Oh look, it's raining again." All right. So meat rain. That's good. Little meat falling out of the sky. There's nothing wrong with that.
I wonder if it was large pieces.
I don't know.
When people got knocked out.
You got an entire rump roasts are falling from the sky. sides of beef, an actual side of cattle falling from the sky, smashing people in the head. All right, we got a break. The news coming up next. We got more Unsolved Mysteries and then real germy public places on Weirdo Wednesday. Brandy wears a braided chain made of finest silver. Yeah, man. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have your opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran with Morning Drive starting at 6. And it is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! And you know, Dan, this morning on Wild Card Wednesday also kind of is One Hit Wonder.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Because that was Mark requesting Looking Glass with Brandy. I don't remember Looking Glass having another hit.
He did identify them as a one-hit wonder in his request.
There you go. All right. Okay, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Esmeralda's still freaking out over Max Headroom being loose in the streets. All right, we have some more Unsolved Mysteries, and then we're going to get to the germiest public places. So how about this one? The Mary Celeste Esmeralda. We should probably have that unsolved mystery theme playing underneath. The Mary Celeste.
You want her to leave the show? Is that what
I know. I was like, I'm going to go.
The Mary. The, like pushing of the Thin Mints a couple days ago. And
hey, I didn't. You know, I've. By the way, and I've mentioned this before, I've got. And Dan, you and I have, you know, have discovered and you have found a lot of topics that involve food. And we normally talk a lot about like crazy food and food, you know, and I purposely have not chosen any of those topics to talk about. Especially after the Thin Mint incident when she almost threw a chair at me. So, all right. The Mary Celeste is one of the most famous examples of a ghost ship. A ship found with its entire crew missing under mysterious circumstances. The vessel was discovered abandoned, but in reasonable order, off the coast of Portugal. Leading lots of speculation as to what happened to the missing crew. All right, that's enough. You all right, Esmeralda? It's a ghost ship.
Cool.
They can't get you.
Great. Really, the ghost ship can't get me?
It's in Portugal.
It's a ghost ship. They can float wherever they please.
By the way, you ever see the movie from like 2000 or 2001 called Ghost Ship?
I don't think so.
Let me just explain. It's a terrible movie. A terrible movie. And I want to say it was 2000, 2001, early 2000s. Ghost Ship. But it had one of the greatest openings ever. Because, like, it was a ship. I guess it was, like, if I remember, I only saw the movie once because it was a piece of crap. But it had the opening 10 minutes was pretty spectacular. It was, like, in the 20s or something. It was, like, a luxury liner. And all these rich people in their fancy clothes and, you know, maybe it was even earlier than that, early 1900s, I guess. And they're on the ship and they're all like, there's a party happening on the ship outside on the deck.
No, I've seen that. And I was like, nope, and I'm out.
When they all get cut in half?
Yep. I was like, man, I'm gone. Bye, everybody.
It was like a cable or something, right? That flipped down and then cut like 300 people in half.
I remember watching that going, and goodbye.
That's the best part of the movie. It goes downhill from there, Esmeralda. You made the right decision because it really, really goes. Because the first 10 minutes I thought was great. All those people getting cut in half. I was like, this might be the best film I've seen all year. And then it just goes.
No, I had to go watch cartoons. I couldn't deal with it. No.
Well, you must have been really young then, right? I mean.
I don't know.
No, because it was in 2000, 2001, something like that. No, you weren't young. You just freaked out.
Yeah, because people were getting cut in half.
But it was so ridiculous, Esmeralda.
But those are the kinds of things that really freak me out. Those things that, like, well, that could possibly happen. A big old wire could fall and
and cut 200 people in half.
Yeah.
I don't think that could happen, Esmeralda. I think you're freaking out a little bit too much. I really don't think that a cable can snap and cut 300 people in half. Don't think that's going to happen. Okay. How about this? The Green Children of Woolpit. The Green Children of Woolpit. In the 12th century, a sleepy village in Suffolk in the UK was visited by two green-skinned children. They were alleged to speak in a strange language and claimed to have come from an underground world filled with other green people. That's all it says.
Did they not just have grass stains all over them?
I don't know.
Could be that.
I've never heard of this. The Green Children of Woolpit.
So wait, there's no... What? When was this?
12th century.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there's no pictures?
No, there are no pictures. Maybe there are artist renderings of the Green Children of Woolpit. So... texters and Flyjam Bob are letting us know that Looking Glass had a second hit called Jimmy Loves Marianne. I don't remember that song. Jimmy Loves Marianne? I don't remember. I guess Jimmy doesn't love Mandy anymore. Or Brandy. No, Mandy is Barry Manilow. You know the song Mandy, Esmeralda by Barry Manilow?
Yeah.
You know what that song's about?
Someone named Mandy?
It's about his dog.
A dog named Mandy.
Yep. Everybody thought that movie was like, oh, this wonderful romantic song.
Jimmy loves Marianne.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jimmy wants to be a man. Jimmy loves Marianne.
She thinks it's all right. She's not alone. She picks up the phone.
Jimmy Loves Marianne. I totally forgot about that. Totally forgot about that. All right, so we'll do one more final, Esmeralda, final unsolved mystery. And then we'll move on to more Weirdo Wednesday stuff with the germiest public places. All right, how about the axe murder of New Orleans? It terrorized the city for 2 years, in which he butchered 12 people to death for no apparent reason other than raw psychopathic insanity. He taunted police with a letter in each. He claimed to be a demon. He said he was unholy and not of this world. He apparently was also a fan of jazz. In the letter, he vowed not to attack any house in which a jazz band was hired to sing. All right. Everybody in New Orleans became fans of live jazz. At that time. Now, here's another one. Have you seen the movie Zodiac, Esmeralda?
No, I saw the one with John Leguizamo.
That's Summer of Sam.
Oh.
That's a different, that's another one.
Different
Son
killer?
Of Sam. But they caught the Son of Sam killer, David Berkowitz. They caught him. Zodiac, they really didn't. They never did. And David Fincher made the movie. It's Jake Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo. It's a great, great film. But people didn't like it because it didn't have like a real ending because they never solved the crime. It's a true story. They never solved the crime. So people were like, well, what kind of ending is that? Well, life.
If you have any information.
Yeah, they should have had Robert Stack come out at the end of the movie and just say that.
Wait, when was this jazz business?
It doesn't say.
It was a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Like that dude's probably
dead.
Checking.
He's under the ground right now. He's 6 feet under. Here's Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I was just talking to Dan. Wasn't there an episode on Unsolved Mysteries about Resurrection Mary?
Oh, there had to have been, right?
It seems to me, I remember him talking, and now you've been talking about it, and, you know, you haven't heard about that, anybody seeing her in a long time, but it seemed for a while there were stories about Resurrection Mary popping up all over the place up by Resurrection House, or Cemetery there.
Yeah, Resurrection Cemetery. I mean, obviously that's a story that's been told many, many times on this very time slot over the years around Halloween.
It turned into an urban myth at one point, but it didn't stop people from saying they saw her.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they did feature it on, if not Unsolved Mysteries, it's been featured on television Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
My other question was, is I wondered what Esmeralda's opinion was of the Burger King guy.
The Burger King guy doesn't bother you, does he?
He's for some reason okay. I think if I saw him in real life.
I know when that commercial came out, they had a Halloween cast or a Halloween mask.
Yeah,
the Burger King guy, and he kept popping up all over the place.
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorite ad campaigns in the history of ad campaigns. I love the Burger King.
That and the Wendy's where you used to slide across the back seat of the car. Where's the beef?
Yeah. Where's the beef? All right, Dan. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Yeah, Resurrection Mary, one of the classic ghost stories of this area.
A friend was telling me that that they were biking mm-hmm. by that cemetery and they were trying to see like into the cemetery, and they flipped over on the bike. Like the bike went all crazy and wobbly, and he flipped over. And he says that before that he had never ever crashed or it's never just gone haywire.
Oh.
That one time going by the cemetery.
Well, Resurrection Mary's not known to trip people's spokes. That's not what she
was.
That wasn't her MO.
But if he's on the street.
No, she wants a ride. She gets in the car. She's hitchhiking.
Maybe she hates bikers.
Because she can't ride in the back of a bike.
Right. She's like, hey, get off of the road.
Get off of the road. I got to hitchhike here. All right.